So it was very mixed messages as well that I got from my parents. That on the one hand, being a quote unquote nonconformist is good, and challenging the establishment is good, and yet the other message was absolutely conform in your private sphere, in your relationships.
That's a really confusing set of messages to receive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I may have had something quite similar, so I really resonate with that. Very confusing set of messages.
Mm. Yeah, and somehow I clung to the quasi-radical bit.
Yeah.
And I refused to give in. Yeah. And I used to argue with my parents.
I mean, were there outside role models? Was there anything that gave you a sense of permission around that?
No, and I don't know where it came from. But I absolutely had firm views about things.
Yeah.
And the environment I lived in was chaotic and noisy and quite scary as a little person because things changed a lot. So
do you want to say a bit more about why that was or how that was?
The rules that my parents negotiated between themselves and us changed quite frequently. And I used to feel like I was an observer. And it was my job to kind of walk back into the next day of this story and try and work out where we were, because it felt like I'd gone to sleep in the gap.
Wow.
And I tried to manage them so that I could work out how things were meant to work, because I never managed to negotiate it successfully. My sisters did. So it was, my parents were violent and you know, nasty and abusive. Mm. And I don't quite know why, but they weren't like that all the time.
So you're trying to really figure out what are the rules?
Yeah.
And
how to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a sense of threat?
Yeah. Yeah, very much. Yeah. So I started running away when I was about 5. And like a lot of gay people I know who were very obviously gay, and I got some pictures recently of me at a wedding at 6 I was, and I had a tie, and I remember my white trousers. I was very proud of these white trousers.
Oh.
And there's a picture of me and my parents and my two sisters, and they are very firmly a family unit, and I am clearly standing to one side.
Yes.
So it's very obvious.
The odd one.
I don't trust you.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure who you are, but I don't like it.
And I really hear this fierce sense of independence from very early.
Yeah.
This is who I am. And was there a kind of sense of, I don't want to be like you?
Very much so. And in relation to what we're going on to discuss in terms of parenting, as a very young person, I distinctly remember saying, I'm never doing it like this. I am never going to make my child feel like this. I'm never going to behave in this way. I'm going to be a good parent. And a good parent looks like this.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to have children. And as an adult, reflecting now on where I was and where I am, that the having children bit, not sound a bit counselly, is a bit kind of fixing the little girl who had a really bad time.
So yeah. Imagining a better,
yeah,
better family life, a better, yeah, more supportive structure.
Well, a family that was my family rather than a strange group of aliens who somehow produced me. I do remember going to Midsummer Night's Dream at Stratford, and I was, I don't know, about 9 or 10 or something. And we got to the end of the show. My mum said, what do you think? And I said, I knew you weren't my parents. Titania and Oberon are going to come back and get me, and they're going to be so cross with you.
Oh.
And I clung to that. That I was a fairy child, and I was exchanged for a changeling. And, yeah, I had another scenario that might come and save me.
I don't want to plot spoil for people who haven't seen the film, but conversation, you remember a conversation, a coming out conversation. How did that go?
Well, it wasn't a specific conversation. It was over many years, it becoming obvious and me having discussions about, everyone at the time was bisexual rather than saying they were lesbian, a bit like being unpopular being a lesbian these days. But I remember my 17th birthday, and I'd been with my girlfriend the night before, and I got home and my mum was taking me out to the Lowry Museum, and she said, "Were there any boys at the party last night?" Mm. And as a Catholic, obviously, can't be around boys. And I said, "Nope." And she said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes, it's just me and girls." Which was great, because I got away with loads of things that my heterosexual sisters didn't. And then I was going, I don't understand. And my mum just burst into tears.
Yeah.
And my aunt, who was staying, came in and found my mum literally sort of bashing the floor, weeping.
Oh.
And I said, I don't understand. And I had a massive love bite in my neck.
Yeah.
Oh. And she cried all the way to Salford, all round the Lowry Museum. And it was all about queers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the currently people like to describe themselves as queers variously. I have at different stages, but it was very much a term of abuse.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of those moments where it was obvious that that I was a lesbian.
And how did that land in you?
Well, I was scared of discovery, because I knew absolute discovery probably meant absolute rejection, and it did. When I was 21, my parents moved, and they moved to a new house that I'd never lived in.
Yes.
And they said, "This is our house. This is not your home anymore. You need to make your own way in the world. And you can only come here during the hours of daylight." I don't know what I was going to do when it was dark. Obviously, I was, you know, gave people a scary.
Dangerous after dark.
Dangerous dykes. Yeah. And I could only go with a written invitation.
Wow.
And I said, "I'm not prepared to do that." And they said, "Well, you're on your own."
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a difference, isn't there, between independence, I want to make my own way, and rejection.
But to be fair, they were horrible to me all the way through. Yeah. And that it wasn't a surprise.
Was there an element of relief? How did it feel?
I was shocked, but I knew that at some stage that's what it would be. What I was more shocked about was I then went to stay with my grandparents, because I couldn't stay in my parents' house. And they'd said, "Don't tell your grandparents, it will kill them."
Oh.
And while I knew it wouldn't actually kill them,
yeah,
I didn't want to take the risk. Because if they instantly died, what would I do for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
I'd be a murderer.
What a thing to put on you.
Oh. Yeah. So anyway, I arrived at my grandparents' house, and my very austere, very snobby granddad, who came from the docks in Salford, said, "I want a word with you." I was, "Oh, God, I'm in trouble."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, granddad, what's the matter?" And he stand there, because you had to stand in front of granddad. And he said, "I know you're a lesbian."
Wow.
And I went, thinking, I'm going to die. And I didn't say anything, because I thought he might die.
Yeah.
And he said, "We've known that you're a lesbian for years. We've been discussing it with your parents, as have lots of other people. And we think you're fantastic. And we think it's your parents who have a problem.
Oh.
And we think there's nothing wrong with you. It's your parents who were, you know, who were off message." And I was just standing there. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Except I was filled with all these people having all these conversations about this young person who is quite clearly struggling with lots of things.
Yeah.
why did nobody say, how are you? Or it's all right.
Yeah.
Because that would have been great.
Such a simple thing to do.
Yeah.
And the steeping of shame and isolation and hiding, that was, I think, particularly in that time, really normal, wasn't it?
It was. And my parents were very clear after the Don't Darken Our Door scenario that I was never to use the word lesbian in public, never to write it down, because you'd be subject to blackmail. And also at the time that the tabloid press were loving stories about gay people.
Yeah.
Many of my friends used to talk about, oh, we might be on the front page of the Sun, you know, somebody's daughter in lesbian love nest. And we're all going, where is that near Islington?
So did you find your way to a lesbian love nest? How did you navigate your relationship life from that point?
Well, it started earlier. So I had my first sexual experience was with a woman when I was about 13, 14. She was similar age, slightly older. Mm. And navigating that was quite a thing. So I remember we were dancing to Knights in White Satin. Oh.
Always the slow one.
It's always the slow one, yeah. And I remember we were kissing and I'd never felt anything like that ever. And I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. Oh. And she whispered in my ear, I'd love to make love with you.
Wow.
And all I could think of was where and how.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of what to say. So I said the only thing I could think of, which was thank you.
How polite.
Very polite. And we did end up having a sexual relationship. Before we got down to doing anything, she said, have you had sex with a woman before? And I said, of course. So I had girlfriends all the way through. And then when I was the end of lower six, start of upper six, so I was 17, 18.
Yeah.
There was a girl who was a year above me at sixth form, and she was Butch Dyke, and she went to talk to the caring pastoral people, and she was sectioned.
Wow.
And she was put.
Whoa.
Yep. She was put in Winnick.
Hang on, let's just do a time check. Where are we? What year are we roughly?
Early 80s.
That's shocking.
Yeah, she was put in Winnick within moments, and she was diagnosed with quote unquote penis envy. And I don't know what that's meant to mean, because she wasn't envying any penises, I can tell you. And I thought, shit, this is serious.
Yeah.
This is go to jail, don't get out. And I was absolutely scared to death that I was going to end up in Winnick. And the only thing I had in my head was get out of Dodge.
Yeah. So, tell us what Winnick was.
So Winnick was a huge mental asylum in the middle of West Lancashire, surrounded by fields, like a massive factory building. Mm-hmm. It was the asylum people went into and never came out of. Mm. And that's where she went. And that's why I thought, I'm not going to go.
I mean, that's extraordinary in that day and age that was still considered so